ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. NBA DFS Podcast Lineup Logic here. I am your host, Sean Kane. This is, of course, the DFS Podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. It is Thursday, March 9th, and the sands of time have the NBA season slipping out of our hands, my friends. It is slowly but surely slipping. Five-game slate tonight. Not a bad little slate. Of course, coming off the monster slate last night, 11 games, a ton of listeners cashing out. Alfred Payton and Giannis, if you had one of them, cha-ching, cha-ching, you were in the money. Well done. We talked about him on the show, you know, especially Giannis. I got a little bit nervous. I honestly thought the Bucks would be able to blow them out more than they did. Of course, didn't happen that way, but Giannis did take over there and went for 69. And I have no idea what to say about Alfred Payton. We say Alfred Payton is streaky. That's probably the understatement of the year. Guy can go for 18. Or, you know, 12 points and just totally disappear, and he can also go for 65. In general, we had some really, really rock-solid calls. A lot of people hitting 300, very, very happy. Of course, there were some holes, and I had ended up falling into some of those holes. How the Warriors only end up scoring, like, almost a season low of 86 points, I have no idea, guys. Honestly, frustrating, super-duper frustrating for me. I'll get to that in the lineup review. Before we go on, let's go ahead and give some people some shout outs here, man. Some great work. Really, really happy for of course, a couple friends here. Corey, new listener to the show. T Harm, new listener to the show, cashing out there. Absolutely awesome. Jay Rossi, hey man, welcome aboard and welcome to Cash. Gene and Lou, thanks for tweeting at me again. You guys hit Cash. Really happy for you. 50-50s there. New show, new listener, Louisville. Welcome aboard, man. Cashed his DK line pretty hard. Hit hard. Really, really awesome there. Of course, Jason, well done. And KL Dog, well done. But big wins tonight. Tim, that was awesome, man, to see you get up there in that tourney, take down a little bit of cash there. And then, of course, Donald Remington, man, crushing the DK slate. Really, really happy for you. Came home with quite a bit of money there. Really happy for you, dude. And Tyler Wright, well done. A lot of guys. It really helps a lot when you are, you know, when you're shooting me your results. It really, really is awesome. People find our show. They find our they find our results compelling. They want to tune in, and it really means a lot to me. I appreciate it so much. And of course, my man, Manu, DFS Manu. Hey, congratulations, Manu, getting back into cash in hockey. He's my NHL man. A wonderful dude. Great line last night. And you know what? I knew I liked it when I saw it. He showed it to me and he was like, "What do you think?" I was like, "I like this boogie and a low owned boogie and a low owned couple of plays there. Really, really nice." Hey, he didn't let his Raptors bias get to him. So good job, Manu. Hey, before we go into the night upcoming in the NBA, let's go ahead and recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. So, for the most part, that feeling when you run up to a store and literally the attendant just locks the door in your face? Like you run up, you jump out of the car and you're like, "Oh, let me get in." And they're like, sorry, we're we're closed. That was me last night in my all of my cash games. That was me. I was literally running up to the door with Steph and Draymond in the last game of the night, and I'm like, oh, there's no way. I got a whole second half. I just need 20 points. I need 20 points. And I think it was more than 20 points, but didn't get there. Literally sitting on the cash line in 50-50s in like 52nd place. And then just outside the doubles by 8 points. You know what's frustrating is that I made one cute pivot that cost me. All day I was on Steph, Schroeder, Tim Hardaway Jr., and I got on Rodney Hood, actually. Kilpatrick was a great move, and I could have stuck with Kilpatrick. He's just been crushing it with 30 minutes lately, and you know, it would have been smart to stay on him, but okay, hey, Rodney Hood was there, and I had the money, and he played really well. I was really pleased with Rodney Hood, and I knew he would be a little bit lower owned because people were nervous about him, and I was on Gordon Hayward all day. At small forward one, and Boyan, of course, he flops on the road back-to-back. It was easy. I should have known that the regression would come for Otto Porter. Okay, it's not normal for Otto Porter to only have a less than 10 point outing. Should have known that Otto Porter regresses and that Boyan regresses back towards his mean. It's just one of those things that happen. These are the laws of nature in fantasy sports. Guys bump up and then they bump back to their mean, right? It's what happened with Bismack Biyombo, by the way. I mean, that's why I was glad that the David Lee was in play, because I didn't have to play Biyombo. Draymond, just fine, but like the fourth quarter for the Warriors was a fucking disaster. Everything was going fine. Competitive game. They don't even really score in the fourth quarter. They score like a season low of 86 points. They can't get it done. It was so frustrating to watch that happen. You know, all I need is I needed just a couple points from both of them. Keep that game competitive down the stretch. Nothing works. Nothing works out there. And here's the move that, and oh, by the way, sorry, I was on David Lee and Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert nails value, very happy with him, and people weren't on him because they were on Bismack, which all you need to do is get him outscore. And David Lee crushed, which I was really happy about, you know, because I knew Spurs would rest. And that's David Lee time. When Spurs rest, it's David Lee, and you know, there's a couple peripheral guys. Patty Mills ended up having a great game, but David Lee is the most consistent there. So, you know, we love David Lee. But I mean, you know, the cute move that I made was to go to Andrew Wiggins off of Hayward. I thought, okay, here's the thing. Wiggins has an excellent matchup history with the Clippers. The Clippers are not good against the small forward, and all I need Wiggins to do is outscore Hayward. Well, the reverse happened. Hayward outscores Wiggins by 12 points, and it costs me all my cash, right? Cash in all formats. If I stay on Hayward, then boom, I'm cash, I'm green in all formats. It's one of those risky moves, you know? I mean, when you take a low-owned player, you're betting on... you're betting on the fact that that player is going to outperform someone else, and that's what you need, right? Like betting on David Lee to outperform Bismack Biyombo worked out, okay? That worked out really well. But betting on Andrew Wiggins to outperform Gordon Hayward, that didn't work out. And that's the risk that you take with, you know, trying to target a lower-owned player. Yeah, I mean, Wiggins was owned at 4%. That was awesome. But he, you know, is 12 points below Hayward. Same price point, 12 points below Hayward. You know, and that's what hurt me. So I was tilting that decision all morning long. Really a little frustrating. you know. But I mean, the really frustrating part is that Golden State only scores 12 points in the fourth quarter. And I think that there's something to learn here about the Celtics, by the way. Okay, Celtics team defense is improved. And down the stretch, you know, the Celtics are playing their best defenders. They're playing Avery Bradley. They're playing Marcus Smart in those lineups. And they are, you know, and they are really, really doing good work down the stretch. And it's shutting teams down, you know, and especially this is proof positive that, you know, that they can shut down the Warriors in the fourth quarter and only allow 12 points. We have to think about the team defense of the Celtics, especially in the backcourt, as a little bit better. The front court's still not that great, but, you know, in the backcourt, it's a little bit better. I don't know. Steph didn't shoot poorly, but he just didn't play. He didn't have a Steph game, you know, and Klay got cold, and I don't know how they don't stay in that game. I think the Warriors actually have some problems here without KD. They've lost a couple games. Things are closer than they like. You know, so anyway, moving on, a couple, you know, lessons to be learned. But hey, we're here. We're on a short slate, a five gamer that has a couple nice games. So let's go ahead and get into the games tonight. Okay, five game slate, you know, similar in my mind to what we have to think about, what we have to do on the Tuesday slate, right? We have this kind of this multiple choice question of where do we want to put our money? What games do we want to target? You know, how do we want to make sure that we are on the right side of this and target the right players? It's multiple choice test, right? 10 players at every position, more or less, that you have viable to you. So how do you make the best selections with the money that you have? So first game of the night, Cleveland going up to Detroit, 217 total in this one. Cleveland favored by 5. You know, nice total, nice pace up game for Detroit. It's just kind of been hard to predict fantasy value in the Motor City. I'm talking to my man over at Fan Forecast, Cody Barber, Detroit Pistons fan. And honestly, I ask him, I'm like, hey, what do you think of da-da-da tonight? You know, I'm thinking about different questions. And he watches all the Pistons games. So, you know, he has a good eye for this kind of stuff. And he's the other night, he's like, honestly, man, anything could happen. Anything could happen. They go for 40. They could go for 15. This team is so inconsistent. It's hard to trust Van Gundy. You know, it's one of those situations. And Cody's right. He's right. It's Van Gundy is a very difficult coach to target. This isn't Tibbs, right? Giving everybody minutes. So injury news in this one. You know, nothing really to be worried about too much. Nothing too much to be worried about here on either side of the ball. All our normal starters seem to be in play. Don't know how I'm going to touch this game, to be completely honest with you, but we'll talk about it. All right, moving on. LA at Memphis, 207 total here. Memphis favored by 2 in this game. You know, this is an interesting game because it's competitive. It's two teams that have the same style of play and two teams that are good basketball teams, you know, very almost identical records. Clippers are 38-26, Memphis 36-28. Both kind of trying to, you know, bottom four Western Conference playoff teams here. You know, the difficulty is you got two good defensive teams. So how much fantasy value can you find in this game? You know, it's hard to say that anybody is a really good matchup or a really good target, but we will talk about a couple players here. San Antonio at Oklahoma City, 211 total here. San Antonio only favored by 3 on the road. You know, San Antonio struggled last night. I saw the scores 36-17 in the first quarter. I was like, what the hell are the Kings doing right? Of course, then Pop fixes it and they come back and win that game. But it was pretty unbelievable. San Antonio has struggled at times without Aldridge and Kawhi. But, you know, I mean, talk about struggle bus. The Thunder just, even when Russ goes for a career high in scoring, they can't beat the Blazers at home. Come on, man. beat the Blazers. They miss Oladipo is what they miss. They need a healthy Oladipo to really secure that backcourt. I think that's the biggest hole. And Roberson just isn't good enough. They need more from their two and their three. And you know, front court wise, they can get away with it. But like, they need more from their two and their three. Only injuries here. We got to make sure no one's resting in the Spurs. I'm pretty sure I saw a report that Kawhi and LaMarcus are going to play. So, boom, fire them up. Lakers at Suns. Fantasy goodness. This is a delicious game. 229 total. Suns only favored by 6 at home. You know, we're keeping some injury news in mind for like Ivic Zubac and Larry Nance Jr., but they both played the other night, so they should be good to go tonight. Not like you're going to play them necessarily, but, you know, this is a stackable stack them up here. Really like this game. And then the next game is the other piece that you want to stack up a lot of pieces from. Philadelphia at Portland, 221 total here. You know, Portland favored by 9 at home. You got to think that Portland's going to be able to get this one pretty easily. But nice matchup. Philadelphia just banged up, really banged up, you know. So we'll wait to see what the whole Rashawn Holmes and Jahlil Okafor, Gerald Henderson situation is. All those guys nursing kind of nagging injuries, you know, Okafor with the knee and Holmes with the hamstring and Henderson with the wrist. And just, I mean, rough for Philadelphia. But, you know, hey, that means we're probably going to see some serious minutes for guys like Saric and Covington. And interesting game target. And I'll tell you what, price down CJ McCollum is looking juicy. That's where we're at. 5 games. Like I said, hey, this is a multiple choice test, man. When you get short slates, it's a multiple choice test. You got to make the right decisions. Figure out. You're very concise in your line of construction, and you should be rock solid, okay? That is where we are at for the games. Let's go ahead into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, let's start a point guard, the lock and load segment, at point guard. It's where we're going to figure out where we want to spend our money. Obviously, at the top of the slate, you got the man, the myth, the legend, Russell Westbrook, 13 threes, got San Antonio at home. He's got a 104 implied total, which is pretty low. It's a drop in pace. They're 3-point dogs to the Spurs, which is interesting to me. The Spurs aren't really bad against anyone. Against any single position, like they don't have holes in their defense because their team defense is so solid. Their rotations are absolutely elite. But if they struggle anywhere, it's against the point guards. They've given up 48 points in the last 5, which is pretty average. Not bad, but average. And even against the Spurs, Russ had 51 this year. You know, it's tough. You know, this isn't Portland. And this isn't Phoenix. You're not going to get 70 out of him. This isn't a great matchup for him, but I think 50 plus is where you want to say Russ goes. I mean, the man is pretty much matchup proof, and you know he will definitely catch Kawhi Leonard defense. That's how they're going to do this. You know, no problem saying, okay, listen, if Kawhi guards you, then the rest of the team has to beat us, and that's a hard. That's what teams do. That's what you do against the Thunder. They don't have any other viable scorers, man. It's just Russ. You know, who else can really put the ball in the bucket there? Cantor? That's it. You know, they need another scoring threat. They need someone else in the backcourt that they can be like, this guy, you can't leave him open. You know, they need a CJ McCollum. They need a Bradley Beal. And when you have an elite point guard, you need an elite two. You need a DeMar DeRozan. You know, they just don't have it. Oladipo's good. He's a damn good two. In fact, you know what? Maybe what they should do is they should get an elite two and then move Depot to the three because Roberson just isn't doing it. And Depot's got the size. All right, that's enough talking about the Thunder. I'm sorry. I do like talking about basketball, just in life. But anyway, all right. He needs 67 points, though, to pay off this price. Okay, Russ needs 67. That's craziness. And I don't think he's going to do that against the Spurs. You know, I think it's a low total, lower pace. It's an easy fade for cash games. Hey, but it's worth it in GPPs because, hey, anything can happen. And the reality is in cash games, people will fade Russell Westbrook for his price in the matchup here. That's just what's going to happen. And so you just kind of say, okay, I know he's going to be lower owned. This is a good night to do that. Is it? I don't know, but it's a GPP lineup for sure. The pivots are interesting. Kyrie is going to be one of the lowest owned point guards on the night. Absolutely guarantee it. Guarantee it. He will be one of the lowest. And it's not a spot that I love him. He's priced up to 9-4. He's on the road, paced down, good team defense in Detroit. That's the only place you can attack the Pistons, though, is to be honest, is at the point guard position. The other one is Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe at 8-9. He's going to be highly owned, to be honest with you. At 8-9, he has a great matchup history with the Lakers. People know the Lakers suck against the point guard. Great. Bledsoe. The problem is that Bledsoe's minutes are kind of inconsistent, you know, and you wonder how much Tyler Ulis they're going to get. And if the Suns have been playing pretty well, to be honest with you, they could really take it to the Lakers, and you get more Tyler Ulis. You know, if Tyler Ulis plays well, that's the thing about the Suns. If you play well, they'll let you stay in the game. Alex Len, Tyler Ulis. Why do they get 30 plus minutes on random nights? Because when they play well, coach leaves them in the game in the second half. That's kind of what they're at. That's where they're at. This is why Devin Booker sometimes loses minutes and sometimes gains minutes. So, you know, I don't know. It's a high pace, high total. You don't hate. I mean, it has everything, right? Bledsoe has everything. It's chalky, but sometimes you just got to eat your chalk and love it. At shooting guard, it's CJ McCollum at 7K. This is just such a good price for CJ McCollum. Just perfect price. Implied total of 115. It's the second highest pace game of the night. Second highest total on the night. Philadelphia 26 against the shooting guard. They've been giving up massive games of late to the shooting guard, mostly because Nick Stauskas is not a good defender and Gerald Henderson is injured. You know, I just can't. Poor Philadelphia. Just the wheels are falling off, man. They struggled. They're struggling, you know? I mean, like, KCP just went off against them. You know, it's the two is a place where you can attack the 76ers for sure. So second high, 22nd highest 3-point rate at 37%. CJ McCollum at home, we know he can fire the three. I just don't think I need to fade CJ in this situation. 45 points in the last five games, not CJ, but the 76ers giving it up. You know, let's do it. Let's go. Let's go, CJ McCollum. At small forward, we've got two options, okay? Bron at 11-2. He's got Detroit on the road. And Kawhi at 9-6. I mean, take your pick. Here's the breakdown, okay? Kawhi's implied for a 107 total, plus 2 in pace. He's seen the 18th ranked DVP in the league. Bron, 110 total, a little bit paced down on the road, but dead middle of the pack and 16th ranked DVP. I mean, the situations are almost identical, to be completely honest with you. They're both averaging 50 points in the last five games. Kawhi had 52 against the Thunder last time out. He's averaged 51 in the last five games. And he just took the night off to get ready for this game. You know, I like competitive games for Kawhi on the road, especially. This is where he says, okay, let me go ahead and score 39 points. So I like this situation for Kawhi Leonard quite a bit. LeBron, interesting. He has a weird matchup history with the Pistons. He had a strange outing last time. He didn't play full minutes. I'm not really sure what happened there. It was back in November. But you never feel bad about LeBron, especially in a tight game. And Vegas says this one's going to be a decently tight game. I think, though, if I had to choose, you know, since the situations are so similar, I'm gonna go with Kawhi Leonard. He's been hot, and he's cheaper. And there's a lot of other players on this slate that I want to roster who are in the mid tier. So why not go with Leonard here in this situation? Take the savings and hope that he and LeBron have the same range of outcomes, more or less. So we'll take Kawhi at 9-6 and go with that. Let's look at power forward now. it's kind of an interesting slate for power forward. It's definitely better at the mid tier, to be completely honest with you. And you've got Blake at 9K at the top of the slate here. It's a stay away for me. It's pace down, lowest total of the night. It's not a positive DVP situation. So I'm not a huge fan of targeting front court players against the Grizz. Sure, it's a tournament play. You know, Blake is always in play. He can always, you know, do something. He's an elite player. He can always do well. But I just don't see the need to target Blake here, except for in GPPs, as really trying to stay, get some low ownership, you know, and maybe catch some luck here and Blake having a big game. But I just, it doesn't interest me. You know, the only thing that they think is interesting about this possible game here is targeting in a GPP in a game stack, because it will be low owned. It will be low owned. And so you have the opportunity to leverage that, and it will stay competitive. If this stays competitive down the stretch, then okay, you've got a lot of guys who are, you know, good ball players getting, you know, possibly at decent prices getting to value. You know, maybe you mix this game with one of the Cleveland Detroit game, and you get one of the lower owned games of the night. So I'm not sure. It's always viable to attack low owned games. Just question of whether or not it works out. Short slate, I don't know. Marc Gasol at 8K. He's our top tier center. He's got the Clippers, you know, and hey, well, let's talk about it. He's implied for 105, which is a boost to the normal production for Memphis. They're at home. It's a competitive spread. The Clippers are 19th in DVP to the center, strangely enough. You'd think with Jordan and Blake they'd be better, but they're not. You know, I mean, we actually have seen Gasol hit 42 fantasy points in three separate meetings against the Clippers this year. You know, obviously DeAndre Jordan is not a bad defender. He's an elite rim protector, but he's not an elite individual one-on-one defenders to centers. You know, Cat just went for 47 last night, 25 in the first half. You know, and the Clippers are on a road back-to-back. It's not really bad or good. I think you just, from a statistical perspective, I looked into it. It's not really bad or good necessarily. But, you know, it's not better than being rested or being at home. That's the best situation for any team. You know, the thing that they struggle with on the back-to-back that really only stood out was rebounding rate. They have a lower rebounding rate there. You know, I think Gasol is a really interesting way to differentiate yourself. There's not a lot of players at that 8K range, you know. I think he goes lower owned, and if you can find the money, then he's worth it in GPP lineups, because he could easily go 5X here. All right, Fantasy Grout, this is where the mid-tier players, this is what we're talking about. Mid-price guys filling in here, the 5 to 8K range. We've got two possible point guard options. The first is D'Angelo Russell. Love D'Angelo Russell here at 6'7". He's really the only point guard in this price range that I want to target. Don't get me wrong, I have no problem with Damian Lillard. I just don't play Damian Lillard that often, to be honest with you. And, you know, yes, he's at home. Yes, he's, you know, he's more likely to get you 40, and you want him to get 45 at that price tag. So, you know, I don't mind him, but I don't love him in this situation. you know, and then you have Mike Conley at 8K going up against Chris Paul. Conley's a really productive player. You know, don't mind him for GPPs at all. I just think he probably has limited upside in this situation. So I think the two targets that have more upside, you know, the real target that has a lot of upside is D'Angelo Russell against the Suns. Russell at 6'7". Lakers are 6-point dogs. They're implied for a 105 total. And I think you're going to see good production from Russell. I mean, their Suns are 30th ranked in DVP of the league. They're allowing 51 points to the position. They just are allowing 65 in the last five. You know, Russ obviously shifts that number a little bit. But D'Angelo has the highest one of the highest usage rates in the Lakers beyond Julius Randle at 27%. He's been getting 30-plus minutes in all of his last four contests. And in two games against the Lakers this year, he's averaged basically a FanDuel point per minute. So, you know, you expect him to go for 30 plus here. And that's right where you want him to be. He pays off value in this plus pace, plus DVP situation. It's pretty easy cash game play, and I think it'll be pretty chalky. You know, if you want to differentiate yourself, maybe you're pivoting over to a TJ McConnell. And TJ McConnell is not going to be very popular tonight, given the other value options that are a little bit more sexy. McConnell's never that popular tonight. Going on the road to Portland, he's not been very productive lately. But hey, Portland is not that great against the point guard. We know that for sure. You have a pace-up situation for a point guard. I don't know. I mean, why not TJ McConnell? You got a starting point guard in a pace-up situation. I think that you could easily target him in a GPP. That doesn't bother me at all. But I also don't mind it. You know, I never mind TJ McConnell in cash. He feels like 25 points is a pretty good outcome for him, all things considered. At shooting guard, this is really pretty straightforward, guys. Devin Booker at 6'4 and KCP at 5'1. They're pretty much the only startable targets in this range. Booker is a great history against the Lakers. He can torch them. He knows it, and he's priced down. He's got the highest implied team total on the night, highest pace of the night. He's facing a team that's bottom 10 in DVP to the shooting guard. He had 26.5 against this team at one point. He's averaged 34 points in this against the Lakers in three contests. He's going to get plenty of good opportunity. Lock him in at this price. He's another like D'Angelo. It's like, okay, plus 30. Great, done. Up, let's move on. KCP, though, is also a high-risk, high-reward type guy. You know, I mean, he's going to get you 2x or he's going to get you 6x. That's tilting, but I think that there is viability here. You know, I'm concerned about the slump, but I'm not concerned about the minutes, and I'm not concerned about him against the Cavs necessarily. He's got a great history. He's north of 20 in both contests, 130-point outing against the Cavaliers. And you target the Cavs at the shooting guard position. We know that. We saw Waiters do it. We see them. They're bottom 10 in DVP to the shooting guard. They allow people to shoot the three. KCP is a three-point shooter. They've allowed 49 position points to the position in the last five games. They're bottom five in the league, like I said. It's a play that you're kind of nervous about, but it could really work out, you know? And I think that the problem is that you don't necessarily have like a stability. It's not like if you like compare Devin Booker to KCP, right? Their range of outcomes is probably pretty similar. Okay. But Devin Booker is going to score 30 points. And do you pay the extra $1,300 for that security? Or do you take the flyer on KCP who could end up getting you 12? You know, because he just is basically 3 and D and somebody else is scoring for the Pistons. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that you don't know who's going to score for the Pistons, and they're not an offensive minded team. They're a defensive team. And you don't trust Van Gundy, mostly because of his strange affinity for facial hair. Anyway, at small forward, although Van Gundy would look weirder without a mustache. Picture that, huh? Creep. No mustache, and I'd take that back. Keep the mustache. At small forward, you got two options here, and they're both just price plays. They're really nice price plays here. TJ Warren at 5'9, Marcus Morris at 6'1. You know, Marcus Morris is very similar to what I just talked about with KCP. Risky. He could go 3x or he could go 6x. You know, I mean, you don't know what you're gonna get. I don't know. I never know who's going to score for the Pistons. Somebody will score for the Pistons. It's either going to be Reggie Jackson, it's going to be Tobias Harris, Marcus Morris, or KCP. One of those four guys is going to score. Drummond is pretty steady, you know, somewhere north of 30 points. It's not really worth the price, but I don't know who it's going to be. One of them, though, will have points. So, like I said, man, if you want to stack the kind of go against the grain and you want to do some game stacking tonight, you know, it'd be interesting to try and run some game stacks out there where you get some, you know, some Cavs and some Pistons and then maybe some Suns and some Lakers, you know, or maybe some Clippers and some Grizzlies. You get some more low owned players. Game stack, it's viable game stack. They're viable game stacks. But anyway, that's Morris. But TJ Warren is not nearly as risky in this situation. At 5'9", he's hit 30 very consistently, a lot like Devin Booker. His production is very, very similar. You know, he has been getting up to 30 minutes regularly, getting 30 fantasy points per minute, pace-up matchup against the Lakers, highest implied total on the slate. He's averaged 28 in the last five games. He averages 30 against the Lakers this season. 26th ranked team against the small forward. Not scared of Brandon Ingram defense. you know, TJ Warren easily go above 30 here. He just a question of how hot he gets and how hot the guys around him get, whether or not he needs to get hot. But I think 30 is a very, very achievable 5X for TJ Warren tonight. At power forward, two good options here in the mid-tier that I really like. Three, really, if you think about it. Dario Saric at 7'4", Julius Randle at 6'9". I love Dario Saric tonight. You know, just banged up Philadelphia team, high total, high pace. You know, he's a damn good basketball player. He's got a 40-point ceiling. He's going to have a pace up, bottom five DVP against the power forward. He sees about 30 minutes every game. The weird thing is he doesn't get over 30 minutes a game. Like, I would love to see him get 35 minutes. He just really hasn't cracked that 30 number very often. But even in those 30 minutes, I think he's a lock for 34, 35 points in this situation. And you know he has a ceiling. If this game stays competitive down the stretch and Saric gets a couple extra minutes, then he's, you know, he's a double-double candidate. You know, and nothing scares us about the front court of, you know, Nurkic is helpful to the front court defense of Portland, but, you know, I'm not necessarily too worried about Saric in this situation. I like Dario quite a bit. And Julius Randle at 6'9", he's just been going nuts lately, man. Two massive ceiling games. It's so interesting, dude. When this guy decides that he wants to be engaged and he wants to go rebound the basketball, he's a damn good power forward. Like, he's a game-changing power forward. He keeps the Lakers in games. He just checks out so often. He just decides that he doesn't want to rebound. The splits for rebounding for him are insane. He has 20 rebounds against the Hornets and the Mavs, you know, and then he can't get 8 against, you know, some weaker teams. You know, it's ridiculous. It's no surprise, like, when you look at his game logs, if he goes over 30, it's because he has over 10 rebounds. Okay, and then the two ceiling games that he's had recently, he had 20 rebounds. You know, Phoenix, they're not an atrocious rebounding team like the Mavericks, to be completely honest. They're dead middle of the pack. I like Randall's upside if the game stays close. You know, basically, if the game stays close, it's because Julius Randle is playing well. Julius Randle and D'Angelo Russell are playing well. And that's when they both will go up above 30 points, 40 points, you know. And I think the Suns have been playing well. But, you know, I think that with a healthy Randle and a healthy Russell, I don't see why the Lakers can't, you know, really get geared, you know, locked into this game and try and keep it competitive here. The Suns are not freaking, you know, this isn't the Spurs. God. All right, at center, two options. Alan Williams, amazing matchup. You love him. Great. Hey, but guess who got more minutes than Alan Williams the other night? Interesting. Alex Len. You can't predict who is going to get second half minutes in the Suns' rotation. It's either Williams or it's Len. Len starts the game, and then Williams plays off the bench. They kind of get split minutes in the first half, and then whoever's playing better gets the second half. That's frustrating, you guys. I know who's going to start at center. You know, for the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's Yusuf Nurkic. So if Alan Williams and Alex Len have the 29th in DVP to the center situation, Nurk has the 30th against the 76ers. Very reasonable price at 6'4". I don't see any reason to fade a man who's consistently getting you 30 points. He's going to be chalky, but he's going to be productive. It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't, and I am damned if I do. For sure. Lock Nurk in. He's in my core tonight all day. All right, let's go down to the bargain basement. When we're in the bargain basement, we are going to try to target minutes. Minutes are the safest correlation to fantasy production because the first opportunity that you're worried about is opportunity. And that was so corny. No, what is it? I heard somebody the other day say the first ability is availability. You know, and it's true, man. If you don't have a guy who's on the court, how's he going to produce? You got to get a guy who's on the court. Anyway, point guard, here we go. I wish that I knew that I could play Ish Smith. I don't know that we can. him and Reggie Jackson just dead middle split of minutes. You don't know who Van Gundy's going to go with. It's tilting to be honest with you. You got Reggie at 5'2", which is a really nice price for a point guard who could score you 30 points. You got Ish Smith at 4'6", which is a really great price for a point guard who could score you 30 points. But who's going to do it? They both could. Kyrie defense is nothing. Reggie Jackson gets the start. Maybe he turns it up, but the matchup history isn't very good, you know? And if his defense sucks, then Van Gundy's going to put in Ish Smith to guard Kyrie. It's why it's GPP, game stack. Start them both. I don't know. At the other option that you have, we talked about TJ McConnell, starting point guard. He's going to get 25-plus minutes. I know it's not sexy, but hey. Tyler Ulis is in play, but I don't know. That's chasey to me. Ulis has been like, you know, he got 30 minutes in one game, but he's getting back down. You know, you got to be careful about the Suns, man. They just don't, they're not reliable. But Ulis, you know, okay, at 4-5, you could do worse. You could do worse. But if you're going to go down, you know, I don't know. I think one of the safer options in this range is Jordan Clarkson. The minutes are safe. The production is safe. The matchup is good. I don't mind Jordan Clarkson at 5'3". I just think, you know, he could just as easily get you 3 or 4X rather than 5X. I honestly, dude, if I could start one of these guys, I would. It makes me nervous, and I may dart throw one of them because they're value point guards. You don't fade a value point guard. And, like, let's pray that somebody is out with an ankle. Like, let's pray that someone gets the hotel flu. Let's hope. Well, let's not pray about it. I guess that's a little sacrilegious, but we can hope for it, right? We can hope for it. We write a strongly worded letter. At shooting guard, really the lowest that I'm going is KCP tonight, guys. I don't know if you want to go down. You go JJ Redick and Tony Allen, both at 4-3, 4-4. They get tons of minutes. They're veterans, you know, but that's about as low as you want to go, I think. And there's not a lot of reliability there, to be completely honest with you. So, you know, maybe a JJ Redick and you hope for it to get hot again, part of that game stack if you're stacking that game. But I don't know how much further down the line you want to go, because you don't want to go to Nick Stauskas. God, that's tilting. At small forward, though, we've got Brandon Ingram. And, you know, it's just I said the other night, don't play Brandon Ingram. And then, of course, he went for over 20 points. The minutes are just hard to ignore. I mean, they are really pushing him as a piece of their future. They're giving him all the minutes that he can handle this season, which is really smart, because they're basically saying, like, what kind of NBA player are you? We need a full set of film, a full year of statistics on you. If there's just glaring deficiencies in your game that we can't get over, we're going to move on from you. But if it's, you know, if you're clearly developing, then we have some, you know, we got some potential here. You know, the other one is, of course, Mo Harkless, just not priced up, man. 4'8" is just a great price for Mo Harkless. Don't feel bad about Mo Harkless against the 76ers whatsoever. At power forward, two interesting options. Marquese Chris at 4'4". He's got good matchup history with the Lakers, and, you know, it's a good spot to target the Lakers at the power forward. You know, why not? And then Rashawn Holmes may play. Oh, and I forgot to mention Al-Farouq Aminu. He's in play. He's always in play. Guy gets 30 minutes, he gets 30 points. You know, if he gets 25 minutes, he gets 25 points. He's always in play. Al-Farouq Aminu is I like playing Aminu. He's consistent. You know, he kind of reminds me of Marvin Williams. You know, it's like, this is good. This is good. What were we saying? Oh, Rashawn Holmes. He might play. He may play. He's got the hamstring. I think he will. The question is he just hasn't really gotten much more than 24 minutes. And they brought in an extra center, a Sean Long. I'm not sure if anyone has ever heard of him from the D League. Dude played well and he got 20 minutes. So, you know, hey, maybe Holmes is losing minutes to that guy. I don't know. You know, you don't mind power forwards against the Blazers, but I don't like Holmes because he's actually plays center. So he plays center and he may get some nerk and I don't know. He's in play. If you want to punt power forward, it's Marquese Chris and Rashawn Holmes. Just stack them up and go from there. At center, the lowest that you're really going is Alex Len, and that is risky because if he loses his minutes to Alan Williams, then you're not going to get those back. I don't know. I mean, at center, it feels like lock in something that you're sure about. You know, lock in Gasol or lock in Nurk, and just kind of go from there. You know, that's kind of where I'm at. But you know, Len is in play if you need the savings and you want some GP, something that's GPP viable. We don't have there's no Jan Mahimi out there tonight, guys. You know, let's be clear about that. The unicorn, Jan, our favorite man, gone with the wind. Tuesday's gone with the wind. And that was a great Tuesday. Anyway, all right. Let's go ahead and let's look at the lineup lock. We're going to build out a core here. I've got two versions of this lineup for you guys. Okay, I've got two versions of this lineup, and I think both of them are very viable. But let me tell you who my core is, and this is this is a strange core, but this is where I'm at, okay? I built this lineup a couple different ways. D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, CJ McCollum, Kawhi Leonard. Those four, plus Nurk. I'm not touching, those are my favorite five players on the slate. Russell, Booker, McCollum, Leonard, and Nurk. I'm going there, okay? So I have to figure out who my point guard two is, my small forward two, my power forwards are. Now, there's two different ways that I can build this lineup. All right. The first one is to plug in Eric Bledsoe at point guard at the point guard two, 8,900. So I have Eric Bledsoe, D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, CJ McCollum, Kawhi Leonard. And then at small forward, I go with Mo Harkless. You feel very safe with Mo Harkless. And I go with Al-Farouq Aminu. And I go with Marquese Chris. And then, of course, Yusuf at center. Okay. It's a really, really, really viable lineup. But let's clear out point guard. Let's clear out small forward two. Let's clear out power forward. Let's clear out power forward. Now, if we want to go back down the slate and we want to load up on those two power forwards that I really like in their situation, we want to load up on Saric and Randall. Okay, so let's plug in Saric and Randall. That means we're going to really need to punt small forward. And basically, you either have Brandon Ingram or Justin Anderson is also interesting here. By the way, he's had a couple really good games lately. It just feels chasey to me, and I don't really know what his role is. And I'll take the minutes I'll take the minutes here, but I don't know. He's in play. Justin Anderson is in play. He's a little bit sleepy, but let's say we go with Brandon Ingram because it doesn't matter. It's a $100 difference all in all. That leaves me $5,500 for my point guard, and that basically means that I can start with TJ McConnell and then work my way down. Okay, I can start with TJ McConnell and work my way down. So I could go with TJ McConnell right there at 5,500. Boom, perfect lock. Now, if I don't like Brandon Ingram, I can replace Ingram with Harkless. Okay, and then I can take one of the real punt point guards, Ish Smith or Tyler Ulis. All right, that's in play. Ish Smith or Tyler Ulis in play, and Harkless at the other small forward. The question you really have to ask yourself is, do I want Saric and Randall at power forward, or do I want Eric Bledsoe at point guard? You know, and I think for me, I don't know. I mean, Bledsoe just hasn't flashed that 50-point upside of late, but he's got literally has the best matchup on the slate. So it's hard to fade, like, the best matchup in a 40-point floor here. But it's also hard to walk away from possibly two players in Saric and Randall who have 40-point ceilings. You know what I mean? Like, Saric and Randall both have 40-point ceilings, but I could also play Bledsoe, who has a nice 40-point floor. The problem is that in order to get to Saric and Randall, I need to make sure that Aminu and Marquese Chris are going to get me 30. You know, that. So I'm going to debate it. I'm going to sit on it. For the moment, I think I may go with Randall and Saric just because of the upside. And then I may take take a flyer on a guy like maybe a Tyler Ulis in the second unit of Tyler Ulis or Ish, you know, take a flyer there and hope that, you know, he gets the minutes guarding Kyrie and maybe some Kyrie Irving defense there. Ish Smith only needs, he needs, you know, just over 20 points to pay off that price. So risky for sure, but, you know, not bad. So here's where I'm at for the moment. Of course, this could all change. Ish Smith, D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker, CJ McCollum, Kawhi Leonard, Mo Harkless, Dario Saric, Julius Randle, Yusuf Nurkic. Okay. Ish Smith, backup point guard. Good matchup with Cleveland in the front court. We know it's a little bit risky, but he could get good minutes in this situation in order to guard Kyrie. And he's been productive as long as he gets minutes. So that's my biggest punt. It's my punt of the night. D'Angelo Russell, one of the best DVP situations on the slate. Highest total, highest pace game on the slate. He's been the most productive Laker of late. Devin Booker, great matchup history against Phoenix. At 6'4", he's priced fairly. He should be able to get over 30 points against the Lakers tonight. CJ McCollum, priced down. Excellent DVP situation at home. We love CJ McCollum at 7K. Kawhi Leonard, 9'6". I'll take Kawhi over LeBron in this situation for a more competitive game and a better and a good matchup history against the OKC. He's been unbelievably hot right now, and he will need to score in order to kind of keep up with Russ. And then Mo Harkless, just unbelievably consistent, unbelievably underpriced in this situation. Good matchup with Philadelphia on the wing. 30-plus minutes in all of his last couple games with no Evan Turner in the lineup. Power forward Dario Saric and Julius Randle both have 40-point upside, both priced pretty decently in plus matchups against Portland and LA, against Phoenix. If we get double doubles out of them, then we're going to see, you know, that 40-point ceiling from them for sure. And then Nurk down at center. Let's go Nurk. He's got a great best DVP situation on the slate against for centers against Philadelphia front court. So love the upside there with Nurkic as a nice little late hammer. So I mean, really. This is interesting. I only have two plays that aren't from the LA Phoenix game or the Cleveland Detroit game. That's Kawhi and Ish Smith. Risky. But I'm going to look at this and I'm going to figure out where I want to be. You know, I think Mo Harkless over Brandon Ingram is really clutch. I think Mo Harkless' situation versus Brandon Ingram does not have a good matchup history against the Suns, by the way. TJ Warren actually is pretty decent against the small forward. And we saw what he did to Otto Porter the other night. That's actually their strongest defensive spot on the floor. TJ Warren has actually been playing well. They're 6th in DVP. Between him and PJ Tucker, they locked it down in the season. But TJ Warren picked up right where he left off. You know, Otto Porter got shut down against them. And, you know, to be top 10 in DVP to that position with the rest of your defense so bad is really a testament to TJ Warren. You know, so, okay, let's be careful about Brandon Ingram. He had 6 points in 30 minutes against them last time. He could go for 20, but he could just as easily go for a floor, right? I mean, that's not my favorite punt play. That's not my favorite punt play. And Harkless is not a punt play against Philadelphia. He just isn't. He's been consistently getting plenty of minutes and plenty of production. And the thing that you like about Harkless is that he's not really that scoring dependent, right? If he gets you 10 or more points, if he does the double digit points thing, then you feel really good. But, you know, he gets the rebounds, he gets the assists, he gets a couple steals, a couple blocks here. So you feel good about his transition game. So, you know, it's really coming down to me. For me, it's coming down to these power forwards. It's coming down to the small forwards. Do you take Bledsoe and then punt power forward, or do you take Ish Smith as a punt and then lock in two strong candidates at power forward? I'm not sure. Maybe I'll run out both lines, see where we end up. All right, guys. Hey, Please, of course, retweet, review on iTunes if you haven't already. Subscribe, tune in, share with your friends, share results, you know, tweet at me. Again, lineup block is a hard time for me because kids, dinner, family, life happening right around lineup block. So if I don't get to your question or like my, I just like your tweet or something, it's not because I just because I probably am holding an infant. sorry, that was a little IRL in real life here. Hey, good luck in the contest tonight, and I will see you tomorrow. Hey, tonight, recording with Josh Fern, my man, Fern Daddy. So, we will be on the microphones this evening, bringing you a Friday Slate breakdown. Oh, love the Friday Slate. See ya.